as well as sort of feeling stupid because you aren't a roof expert, or weren't.
Well, I wasn't.
Weren't a roof expert.
Well, I can now share with you about noggins and perps and beds and verges.
No, I don't. You don't
need. No, no.
Oh, she thinks you're stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to think you're stupid.
Yeah.
The voice is quieter now, depending what it is. Something like that. It literally goes, oh, stupid. And I think, oh, piss off and move on.
Mm.
But even on an autocorrect, it's there.
See, I did it on purpose because I'd just like to give you an opportunity for growth.
Well, stop it. I don't want to grow anymore.
You're fed up with growing. I thought I'd done my growing.
I'm sick of bloody growing.
Don't make me grow anymore.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining us. How's everything going with you, Nikki?
Interesting.
Oh, okay.
It's a good start. Yeah, everything's fine. Bye. No. I'm sure we all relate, or many of us will relate to that feeling from when we were children of feeling stupid as ADHDers.
Oh.
Yeah, and I've had a couple of nice big fat triggers on that one.
Right.
So
what's happened?
Well, I'm trying to lasso my ADHD mind and get it into some sort of a quite short story rather than a 3-volume trilogy thing.
So long as you don't start with, in 1986...
I was thinking 1963. So February the 12th. No. So the background is I'm having some work done on the house, and it was a contained bit of work on the house that involved scaffolding. So that's been going on. And then, of course, as happens with builders, some other things came up, and the builder, who comes with a decent provenance from neighbours having used him and all sorts of things, he's quite young, but he seems good. Anyway. He was saying, well, while you've got the scaffolding out, the roof sort of needs looking at. And he took us up there, and I went up there with my broken foot and my boot on, up the ladder, as you do. And I had a look, and I could sort of see what he was saying, and this, that, and the other. So I asked my neighbour, who happens to be a master craftsman, very experienced builder, and he was saying, oh, no, it looks all right to me. So I've got two diametrically opposed opinions. And I don't know. I'm not a roofer or a builder.
No.
So anyway, I tried to get some more information as much as I could. But I was aware that there's a big decision. It was £5,000 extra. So it's like, oh, God. So I was sort of a bit stressed and trying not to be stressed. And then the thing that arose for me was one evening, I was thinking, I don't know what to do. I think you mentioned that you've had some experience with this with your family. That until you take the tiles off, you don't know what's under there.
No.
So it's kind of, is it worth doing? Is it worth spending that much money on?
Mm.
I don't know.
That's exactly what happened to my parents, yeah, that they, when they had theirs done, and they said, well, until you take the tiles off.
You don't know.
You can't see.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, I was stuck in this not knowing what to do. It was like 50-50. And I'm very good at going with my gut normally, but my brain and my gut were sort of arguing with each other. So I realised after a bit of work what was going on, and it was triggering my, I don't want to look stupid. Obviously, I don't want to be stupid, but I don't want to look stupid.
To whom?
Ah, exactly. To my neighbour, who was the master craftsman builder, who was saying it was fine. And he would be thinking, in my mind, because projecting, I didn't want him thinking, oh, Nikki's being stupid. I'd given them some help with things in the past, put some nutritional advice. And I suppose I felt like I had a bit of wise standing with them, maybe. And I didn't want to make a decision that would look stupid. And I didn't realise all this to start with. I was just in my, oh God, what shall I do-ness? But when I sat down and sat with it for a bit, I thought, hello, what's going on here? Oh, that's what it is. So over the next 24 hours or so, I managed to get enough information to keep my brain happy and my emotions. I thought, okay, so what is the thing that you're aiming for with this roof? Which might sound a bit mad, but I have a thing about roofs and drains leaking, or roofs and drains leaking. That's, oh, I can't bear it. So I want to feel calm and safe in my home.
Yeah.
So when I buy a house, I get those things checked out along with the electrics. Then I can feel safe. It's a bit like buying insurance. You know, it's all these things that basically we do, and I do anyway, to help me feel calm about things. Being an ADHD, I'm relatively easily agitated. At least I always have been. Whether I am now is another matter, but apparently I am still. So where I ended up was sitting with it and thinking, okay, so if I don't get this done now while the scaffolding's up, because the scaffolding's expensive, if the roof starts leaking in 4 years' time, how am I going to feel? and I'll be kicking myself. I'll be so annoyed with myself and I'll be uncertain all that time. Whereas if I get it done and it's not needed, at least I'll know it's done.
Mm-hmm.
It'll help. It's not like there's not going to be anything that needs doing under there.
Mm-hmm.
And we had taken the edge tiles off, so we'd seen that the felt underneath is a bit not great. So once I realised I needed to feel calm about this, I was able to make the decision. So it was a mixture of fact-finding and then at the end, going with the emotions. So that was it. But the interesting thing for me was I don't want to look or feel stupid. And actually, the feel stupid.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wondered as well, how much was there an element of, if any, of that sort of awkwardness when a neighbour says, oh, you don't need that doing, and then you do it. And obviously it's very visible.
Yes.
They'll see somebody. It's not like they, you know, don't paint your house green on the inside and they don't come in.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to see that you've directly gone against their advice.
Exactly. There was that too.
Yeah. And is it that sort of, oh God, I want to keep them happy?
Yes.
A sort of an element of, yeah, people pleasing.
Exactly that too.
Yeah.
Yes. Spot on.
Yeah.
Yes. Good observation. Because I do respect him and he's been very helpful with other things to do with the house. And he's not a stick his nose in where it's not wanted sort of person at all. So without wishing to go into the minutiae of our house, we had a patio done this summer and he was very helpful with the guy who was doing that. He came around and made some helpful suggestions, lent him something, a tool or something. And it was, you know, it was great. You know, I was really appreciative and I didn't want to sort of throw it in his face with this.
So how would he, the neighbour, know the state of your roof if it needs to have tiles taken off?
Well, to be fair to him, he was talking about, see, I'm now an expert on roofs. 2 weeks ago, I knew nothing. So now I'm an ADHD expert, as we are. And I've done lots of research online, as we do. And the verges, do you know what the verges are?
Something on the edge?
Yes, yes, well done. Yes, like grass verges.
Yes.
They're the quite often cement bits that go up from the bottom of the roof to the top of the roof at the edge.
Yeah.
And mine are 40 years old and they got some cracks and not great, but my neighbour said, oh, I'd leave those. He wasn't talking about the main roof. He was talking about that, but I was kind of extending it in my mind.
So that's
story. A story.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
telling myself a story.
Yeah.
I wasn't catastrophizing. I was wondering, and I was the one that brought the verges up with the builder. He didn't suggest it. I said, are they okay? Are you sure they're okay? And he said, now we've got the scaff up, I'll have a closer look at them. And he said, well, So he wasn't trying to sell me on it, although everybody always wants more business.
Mm-hmm.
I did trust that he felt that. So you've got a 24-year-old, it was his granddad's company, the roofer, versus a 70-something-year-old who's not a roofer, but he's a builder. So it was on. So anyway, in the end, I had to make my own mind up. But you're right, there was that. Will I upset him, I suppose, as you say?
Yes, will he still like me if I have my roof done?
Yes, if I have what I now know are dry verges, they're basically plastic end caps. Yes, the things I've learnt. Anyway, yes, if I have that done, will he still like me? And will he smile at me when I go out?
Yeah,
exactly. So there's a bit, and along with the broken foot, it's all been an interesting few weeks. And this stupid thing I thought people might resonate with. I mean, not everybody who's ADHD grows up thinking they're stupid, but I think there's probably a fairly large proportion of us who do.
Oh, I would say it is my go-to default setting of I will often, and I've had to stop myself from doing it, start, I don't do it very often now. But when I ask a question going, this is probably stupid, but...
Yeah, it might be me being daft.
Yes.
To use an English expression for those of us who aren't in England.
Yeah.
Or Britain.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know, this is probably a stupid question or apologise for asking and all the rest of it. And it's taken me, well, you know, till I'm this sort of age to be able to think, actually... When I've ever been somewhere and someone's asked a question, I've normally thought, oh, thank God they've asked because I didn't get that either.
Yes.
So I'm just going on the law of assuming that if I don't get it and I know that I'm a fairly intelligent person, the chances are somebody else hasn't got it too.
Mm.
I mean, there's always those times when you just weren't listening and or you haven't read the information properly and all of those sorts of things. And I just... I hold my hands up to that and sort of own it.
Mm.
But yeah, it's still absolutely there. You know, on a really minute level, on really irrelevant things. And most of the time now, it's like something flickers through me.
Mm.
And then I go, oh, stop it. But even, so you left me a voice message yesterday.
Did I?
Yes.
I'm sure it is.
You left me a voice message about a typo.
Oh, yes, yes.
So to give a little tiny bit of context, we are, as a chorus, we are having a Christmas party and it's in a place called Salford's with an S on. And there is also a place near Manchester called Salford. Now, we are a few hundred miles away from Salford in Manchester. And I typed up, it will be in Salford's Village Hall or whatever it was. And it auto-corrected without me noticing to Salford, which is a city.
Mm.
And you then left me a message saying, oh, I just wanted to point out that you've, you know, you might want to change this in case there's any confusion, which I did. I just edited it and I thought, actually, no one's going to think it's in Salford.
Well, they might do.
No one is going to think it's in Salford.
No, we are going to Manchester in May.
Yes, but nobody's thinking we're going to pop to Manchester for a Christmas party.
No, you're right. And I did think about it before I did it and I just thought, oh, I'll just say it. Yeah, anyway.
Yes, but it caused, even though you said it really, you know, you said it really nicely. You're my friend. I know you weren't being horrible. You were just being helpful, pointing it out.
Mm.
I still had that stupid feeling pop up really quickly.
Well, obviously I was intending that.
No. And I'm not saying bad. I'm just saying it popped up and I am able to then just go, well, you know, Nikki knows I don't think it's in Salford. Nikki, you know, it's just and I just messaged you and went, oh, bloody autocorrect.
Autocorrect. And I just put a thumbs up and that was it.
Yeah. And I changed it. But yeah, even on that sort of little level where there's a typo, before I can hit override, you know, like on computer programs and you like override this, if this happens, override. I can do that quite quickly, but before I can override it, it will be there.
Yep.
Oh, she thinks you're stupid.
Yeah.
Everyone's going to think you're stupid.
Yeah.
The voice is quieter now, depending what it is. Something like that. It literally goes, oh, stupid. And I think, oh, piss off and move on.
Mm.
But even on an autocorrect, it's there.
See, I did it on purpose because I'd just like to give you an opportunity for growth.
Well, stop it. I don't want to grow anymore.
You're fed up with growing. I thought I'd done my growing.
I'm sick of bloody growing.
Don't make me grow anymore. No. As if. I think I'd hang myself if I felt I wasn't going to grow anymore. Yeah. No, but I take your point.
So, no, I do. I absolutely get it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's such a strong emotional part of our childhoods, or certainly of mine, and I'm extrapolating to yours and others, that it's so easily triggered and it's recognising it. And a small thing, I don't know if it's easier or harder to spot it. Certainly it took me a little bit of unlayering the onion, if you like, to get down to what was going on for me. And you've helped me find another one about the people pleasing with my lovely neighbour. But all this was exacerbated by, I'd done the roof. Yes, it did need doing. Hurrah.
Good.
Yes, I've got videos to prove it to my nice neighbour. And my other neighbour isn't quite so amenable. He has issues and unfortunately he's been quite tricky to deal with the last 10 years. And then my poor roofer put a ladder on the guy's drive and he happened to come out at the time and saw the ladder on the drive and lost it. So I went around to try and soothe things and it actually threw petrol on the fire.
Right.
So we ended up with a huge barney after 10 years of me keeping the peace with him. And it was just one of those unfortunate things. So I've been dealing with that. But that, again, he was sort of throwing at me about the work they'd done and it was shoddy. And it isn't. Absolutely isn't. But he's saying, oh, they might be able to pull the wool over your eyes, but they're not pulling it over mine and all this kind of stuff. So that was another trigger for the stupid thing. So I've been working on that.
And a trigger for the people pleasing?
No, because I don't want to please him. I just want to have a truce. An ongoing manageable truce with him. We helped him out, called an ambulance and helped him. He was bleeding in the house and we helped him out about 5 years ago. And that's sort of because we went round and helped very quickly and came to his aid. I think that's given us some leeway with him. Mm. And I understand his position on certain things because of stuff I know that happened to him years ago.
Mm.
And he's not able to get past it all. And he's got a huge set of triggers that he can go into any moment. And so you're dealing with quite a tinderbox of stuff.
Mm.
And he just reached his push point after 4 weeks of scaffolding being up there. It's just one of those things. But unfortunately, he's laid in again with the stupid thing. I was keeping it under control and I'd come to some sort of resolution and it did need doing so. I made the right decision. Well done, Nick. All this kind of stuff. And then that came up again. And I know it's not true, but there's still that little thing trying to worm away in there.
So it sounds like with the nice neighbour, that some of that sort of pain and pressure came from having to make a decision about something that you didn't feel informed, you didn't physically know enough.
Yes.
And spend a lot of money on something that you don't know. And there's conflicting advice.
Exactly that.
So there's that sort of pain of indecision and the need to make a decision, plus that sort of pain of wanting to keep your neighbour happy or going against his decision, as well as sort of feeling stupid because you aren't a roof expert or weren't.
Well, I wasn't.
Weren't a roof expert. With this more challenging neighbour, there sounds like there's a pain in terms of not liking conflict and wanting the peace to be restored or maintained. But also, it's interesting because after scenario A, you went and got all that knowledge and evidence and fact to the point that you were able to go, yes, this is the right decision.
Yes.
So when neighbour B questioned you and you said, and I went straight back into, or, you know, that was that he pressed the, oh, I'm stupid button again by saying, you know, you're being ripped off or whatever his phrase was. It sounds like that voice, there's a voice of not I'm stupid, but other people are right, which is slightly different.
No, because he wasn't right.
No, he wasn't right. But it's almost like there's a default setting alongside that I'm stupid that, oh, well, other people must be right. Because if somebody said something really obvious that you knew in your heart was wrong, you'd call that out. It wouldn't make you feel stupid. But on something like that, there's this, oh, he must be. I'm just wondering if that sort of, am I making sense there? They're the different sides of the same coin.
I do know what you're saying.
Yeah.
There is a context which is granular, and I don't know if I need to go here, but okay. Do you know what soffits are?
Yes.
Soffits and fascias.
Yes.
The things that go around under the bottom of the roof where the tiles stop. There are things called soffits, which are in this country, mostly white bits of wood or plastic.
Yeah.
And mine were wood, and they were 40 years old. And I was told you could put cladding on, so you put the plastic over them, or you could replace them with solid plastic. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
This guy that did the roof in the end, originally quoted in May, and it's now October, and he disappeared because he's got family illness, and he disappeared off the planet, and his price was the cheapest because it was cladding. Subsequently, I decided that, having done some research, I wanted solid stuff. So all the quotes I got subsequently were solid, but they were a lot more expensive, like another £2,000.
Mm.
So it's not inconsiderable. And when I spoke to the guy, he said, your wood is fine. We're going to drill into the rafters. It won't fall off. It'll be fine. So I had all that, whereas the neighbour doesn't know all that.
Yeah.
But there was a part of me that was still wondering whether I should have gone for the solid. So that's where the little toe in the door for my neighbour is.
Right.
Is that there was a little bit of disquiet, but I decided again to go with it. So I was talking to a lady earlier and we were doing some work on me, and I was saying, oh, my child is speaking up. One of my little clutch of children in my family, in my brain, is speaking up and is feeling vulnerable and uncertain and stupid and all those things. And I said, the wise part of me, we were talking why spontaneity is a good thing for me rather than getting stuck in something. I don't often get stuck, and I usually make decisions easily, actually. And this was why it was so hard, because it wasn't an easy decision and I could go either way. So the wise part of me, if you like, the parent to the little child, did some work about an hour ago. I literally said out loud, it's okay, little one. It's all right. I know what I'm doing. It's okay. Just come and have a cuddle. It's fine. And I actually said those things out loud, and I'm got tingles now because I'm aware of the two things going on. And I think it's that uncertainty. Uncertainty feeds your stupid bone, I think. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah. Yes, I think so. Uncertainty feeds it. And that's what I wondered whether it linked in with that assumption that other people know what they're doing. And maybe that's something that I've felt a lot. So I might be sort of projecting that onto you. But that sort of idea that actually, that feeling, I don't know, that everybody else knows what they're doing and I don't. I missed the day of school where everything was explained feeling.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So there can often be a go-to, I can think I know about something and then somebody else goes, oh, no, it's this. My go-to is, oh, shit, they must be right.
Oh, okay.
They must be right because I'm probably wrong because that's just how it normally is. And then I'll have to unpick it and think, oh, no, that's just their opinion, perspective.
Yes, yes, yes.
But there is an element for me of everybody else's side of the scale is weighted in, in wisdom.
I think it's slightly different for us. And this is really useful because different people will be resonating with different sides of this.
Yeah, yeah.
I think for me, it's because my brother, when he was 18, his IQ was measured as 178, which is genius level. And my parents were very intelligent. And I've mentioned this, I think, in podcast 2 or 3 or something. And I said, perhaps we'll come back to it. And it's finally risen up to the top of the pile today. But I definitely had that feeling. And as ADHDers, we're younger than our counterparts, certainly in brain functionality, let's put it that way. We're emotionally driven. Frontal cortex isn't quite connected or doing its job as then. And we catch up as we get older.
Mm.
But when we're young, we have this propensity to feel stupid anyway or behind because we don't quite have the brain power of those around us as a rule.
Mm.
Not everybody, but as a rule for ADHDers. So I understand. So there's a basis for feeling like that.
Mm.
There's also all that butting in we do, saying things at a turn or being too exuberant or whatever else we've done as children. But as we get older, we sort of grow into ourselves and our brain starts to develop and hopefully still developing. But I now know that I'm intelligent. And that was a big thing for me to say about 10 years ago, rather than I'm stupid when I was young through to I'm okay, through to 20 or 30 something. Well, I'm okay. I'm quite intelligent. And that sort of went on until I got to 10 years ago or so. And then I start to think, when I look at the scientific papers that I read and understand now and the way my mind works, and I really appreciate it, it's almost like it's somebody else's brain. I'm not saying it's about mine. It's like there is this thing that I now have that I have access to. It's amazing. It's like having a little computer there. And I'm not a brain of Britain, but I'm certainly a lot more intelligent than I was when I was younger. And certainly than I gave myself credit for, because I was measuring myself against my brother and my parents, who spoke various languages. My mum spoke Spanish fluently. My father spoke, they all spoke French. My father spoke German. My brother spoke Russian, for God's sake. I mean, it was to a certain level. I find languages easy. I speak Italian reasonably well. I sound like I speak it. And then, of course, I don't know all the vocabulary. So Italians will assume I know what they're talking about because I sound like I can speak it. But that's just a family thing. It's a family gift. But I didn't really value that, nor did I value my musical capacity or any of the other things, because I was always measuring myself against those immediately around me. And I was probably not as further up the scale as I could have been or I was later. Sorry, I'm wittering here. Does that make sense?
It does. But I think it opens. This is more philosophy hour now.
Oh, go on. Philosophy hour. Let's have a philosophy hour.
Well, that idea, linking with I am stupid,
mm,
of what is intelligence? Because you were saying, oh, I've got to the point where, you know, I used to say this and then I said this and then I realised that I was able to read all these scientific papers and understand them. So I can't lack intelligence. Now, I would not be able to, in the same way, read and understand scientific papers. Does that make me less intelligent? No, in my opinion, no. And I know in your opinion, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I use that as a reference of there are so many different measures of intelligence.
Totally.
Like language learning. Some people would go, oh gosh, they're so clever. They speak 15 languages or whatever.
Mm.
But that might be as natural to you as looking at, you don't necessarily look at somebody who's an amazing artist and go, they're so intelligent, they're a brilliant artist, which is another sort of intuitive and inherent skill that people have. You know, some who are classed as enormously intelligent are just able to remember stuff in incredible detail, facts and figures, but they may not be able to apply it or use it. They can just regurgitate it or, you know, like the sort of egghead factoid people, you know, did you know that?
Yes.
Well, great. Okay. But, you know, I mean, my brother had this friend, one of the most intelligent people he knew, that he said he has absolutely no common sense. He wouldn't be able to sort of boil an egg. And so, you know, I know lots of people like that. My family too is very much intelligence equals academic success.
Exactly that.
If you are academically successful, your intelligence goes up. They're related.
Mm.
Now, as a teacher, I can say I fundamentally disagree with that because academic success is not just a measure of knowledge. It's your ability to recall it in certain situations that are very defined and your natural ability or inclination or disinclination to work like that. And things like dyslexia can get in the way. ADHD can get in the way, as I know to my cost. So people with ADHD, now we're all going to be at different IQs, aren't we? If we all sat IQ tests, we'd all have different levels of them. Are we less or more intelligent? I don't know. That's just one measure of intelligence, IQ tests. But I think what we have an enormous amount of is that emotional intelligence.
Totally.
That ability to sense mood shifts and energies, notice things. I put a post on my social media the other day about sort of, because one of my friends has got new glasses. And I went, oh, you've got new glasses. And she went, oh, my God, you're the first. No one has noticed my new glasses. And I was sort of laughing. I noticed I saw my sister-in-law for the first time the other day in ages. She'd had her hair trimmed. I mean, it must be less than a centimetre. But I was like, oh, you've had your hair trimmed. You know, I noticed these sorts of things. But along with that also goes, I will notice if you have a shift in mood. I will notice if something deflates you. I will notice if you're happy. Now, on the scale, there's all these different sorts of intelligence. Which one gets you further in life? You know, if you want to be a lawyer, then yes, academic ability is really important. But actually, having emotional intelligence, being able to notice things, being sensitive to that is a really useful skill that a lot of people don't have. So, yeah, it's interesting. And I'm only thinking this now as we both come from this perspective of like, I feel stupid all the time. And maybe we're judging our stupidity against the wrong sort of intelligence.
Totally. And I just to quibble slightly what you just said, I don't think I'm stupid all the time now. That's the point. I've moved.
Good.
Except it's still there from the child thing.
Yeah.
My little, I don't know how old she was, 8-year-old, whatever, the one that I was cuddling earlier, she feels stupid. She's not ruling my life now. She's not there all the time, but she's just going to pop up now and again. And it's what we do about it. And that's why it was an interesting process for me this morning. And I actually found myself saying the words while my therapist was doing what she was doing with the energy brilliantly. Thank you, because she listens. And it's knowing what's going on for us as ever. It's awareness. I've written here, talent, knowledge and skill are all part of that being able to do something.
Yeah.
And application. We might have the talent. I started drawing when I was about 14 because I was bored one afternoon and I just grabbed an album cover of my father's with Frank Sinatra on it and just started copying it. I took it down to my mum who was marvellous and she said, oh, that's lovely, darling. Yes. Oh, that's really good. You've really got his eyes and you've got this, that and the other. And then she said, if you want to do another one, she said, you could try doing the darks a bit darker. Because she was doing evening classes in art and then she ended up doing sculptures when she was 70, as you do. And she encouraged me. And so I popped upstairs and I started doing another one. And that's how I started drawing and ended up being a graphic designer. And the same thing happened about the same time, probably a couple of years before that. I was probably about 12 when I picked up a guitar. And I'd done that usual ADHD thing of all sorts of things all over the place, unfinished, unloved, picked up for 10 minutes, put down. And the guitar, they bought me this little half-size cheapo guitar because they didn't think I'd carry on with it. And then I did. So they bought me a slightly better one. And then I started having lessons and I outgrew the teacher and never carried on. And so those two things happened about the same time. And I realized I could actually do something. And I was good at something or two things. And that's when I accessed my musical IQ, if you like. And then the emotional IQ came along and I was sort of doing stuff at 17 or 18, thinking about things that not every teenager thinks about and to do with relationships and things. And that you and I have ended up doing what we're doing, being coaches, because we do have this emotional intelligence. We are aware and we do notice things and we can spot things. And I think it's using all my bits of intelligence when I'm coaching that makes it so satisfying.
And I think you linked in there as well about that it links with interest.
Yes. It's whether you want to.
Yes.
What I wanted to say earlier, but I didn't interrupt because I'm being a good lady HDR, is when you were talking about the scientific papers, two things. I wouldn't have gone straight into learning about all this stuff. I wouldn't be able to do it straight. It's because I did it incrementally over 20 years. Yeah. I had my mum saying, if you don't understand something, darling, look it up. So I'd be looking up the words, and about the fifth time I looked them up, I'd remember vaguely. So that was a building thing. But the other thing was when you were saying that you wouldn't understand, it's because you don't want to.
No, absolutely.
Not interested.
And again, you know, there's in my life, the things that have been able to study when I did my postgrad teaching, I found it fascinating. I had no problem studying. Because I really enjoyed it, didn't feel like studying. The course I'm just starting now.
I was just going to say, it's just as well you like studying.
Yes, I'm just about to start a master's.
As you do.
But but it's something that I'm really, really interested in.
Mm.
And so I'm not feeling like I'm forcing myself, but you sit me down to read something that doesn't grab me. I really struggle. And that's why I struggled with my degree and my A-level history, because I like to know a little bit about a lot of things.
Yes, yes, yes.
Love that. Find it very interesting. And then I'm like, I'm done now. I don't need to know much more. I just glaze over.
Exactly. Well, that's like the classic ADHD thing is, yes, I know all about this. I've read the first chapter.
Yes.
And I definitely have a T-shirt on that one.
Yeah.
Well, I think because we can go into hyperfocus, I think we like novelty, but we also really do like getting stuck into something that really interests and pulls us in.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was thinking about when I did my massage qualification years ago. Well, there were two things. One is I was really interested in it and just wanted to do it.
Yeah.
But the other thing was I had to go, for reasons I won't bore you with, but I had to go to Perth in Australia to pick up a whole load of luggage that was sitting out there. So I went to stay with a friend, which was free. So I just paid for the flight and went and sat on a beach for 2.5 weeks, Scarborough Beach in Perth, and did all the learning, the pre-learning for my massage course. And it was so easy. Because I was just lying on the beach in a lovely place, having a lovely old time, all my choice, nobody making me do it.
No.
Pulled in by the subject, anatomy, brilliant, really always been interested, blah. And it was a revelation to me how easy that was.
Yeah.
Ah, and I think, thank you, subconscious, for bringing this up, I think that was the first time that I realised I might be intelligent.
Right.
Or not stupid, let's put it that way. That's really interesting. So I was about 30 then, and I thought, this is easy, and it's quite big words.
Yes.
Lots of big words, but actually this is easy and they're sticking in my head. Who knew?
And I guess that links full circle with the why you felt stupid about the roof, because you're not a roof expert, weren't a roof expert, but you probably weren't that interested. You've had to, you know, there was never a need for you. And
now you've
had to learn about it. You have. But, you know, it's that sort of, oh, God, I don't know anything about this and I ought to know something about it.
Yeah.
And, but why would you know anything about roofs?
Well, exactly. Well, I can now share with you about noggins and perps and beds and verges.
No, I don't. You don't need
But no, seriously, I mean, I'll forget all those. I keep having to remember what perps are because perps to me, they're the vertical bits of stuff between bricks.
No, perps is what they call people in American crime dramas.
Exactly. Exactly that. That's exactly what I've been saying to the builders. I said, no, that's not a perp.
So you corrected yourself earlier. You said something about roofs and then you said roofs.
Mm.
Now, do you know, I think it's roofs.
Yeah, I never know if it's roofs or roofs.
Yeah, I need to check this. It's hoof and
is it
hooves?
Or is it hooves?
I have to find this out.
Hoof and hoof.
We've just lost it.
Are you still with us, everybody?
What is the plural of hoof?
Yes, they've all gone off to put the
kettle
on.
Looking this up now. Oh, it can be hooves or hoofs.
Is it roofs or roofs?
Oh, let me check. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
What about roofs?
What is the plural of roof? It's roofs. There you go. Yeah, hooves is correct, but roofs.
There you go. Now I shall remember that forever and a day.
There we are.
So just to round up, I wrote down the word chorus earlier. And the reason I wrote chorus is, oh, and by the way, I've got a voice screaming at me to say, I don't think I'm massively intelligent. Okay, everybody, I'm not bigging myself up. All right. Now that's said, I can carry on. But I feel okay about my intelligence.
Good for you. Well said.
So I think I am intelligent. It's a word I would use about myself in my strengths, along with I can be incredibly daft and stupid at times, sometimes deliberately and sometimes not. As we know from the preamble to these podcasts, what did I do this afternoon? I was trying to talk to you and I couldn't hear you and you were talking. And it's because I just plugged my headphones in and I hadn't put them in my ears yet. I mean, you know, yeah, really intelligent. Mm. Anyway, so yes, chorus. Just to say that we can have these little children in our minds, our internal families, parts of ourselves that are doing all these screaming and shouting or on the bus that you mentioned recently. We're the driver of the bus. Well, as the driver of the bus, a chorus, I tend to put my hand up fairly often with points I've noticed, and I've reduced the amount I do. And I do choose my battles, if you like, the things that, and I wait to hear if I've heard something 3 or 4 times that might need looking at. And sometimes the director says, well, yeah, thank you, let's move on. And sometimes it's really important, and I don't always know which is going to be the important things.
Yeah.
So my theory is, if I think it's important, then I'll say it and hope for the best, basically. But there's always, every time I put my hand up, there is a little part of me thinking, don't look stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But I deal with that by looking at the bigger picture, and also just by doing it often. I've got used to it. And one of our lovely friends came up to me one day in the break because the director sort of said, I don't think. It was basically a no to whatever I'd suggested.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fine, because basically it's yes or taken on board nearly all the time. She's great, isn't she? It's an open culture. And my friend came up and said, are you okay? And I said, yeah. And she said, oh, because you made a suggestion and it was, and I said, no, it's absolutely fine.
Good.
It's absolutely fine. And I realised it was absolutely fine.
Yeah.
So can you see what I'm saying? So there's some progress there, because it wouldn't have been absolutely fine 30 years ago or 40 years ago or whatever it happens to be.
Yeah. And I think that another part of that is that actually that voice that keeps us in check is a useful one, isn't it?
Oh, totally. Yes.
You know, because I think we have to keep that keep us in check voice in check, because I think it can get over applied. I know that my natural tendency is wanting to contribute to everything, have something to say about everything. I'm very happy to be the person who volunteers. I am a bit of a pick me person, you know, yes, me. So I think keeping that in check, and then you realise that it actually really pisses lots of people off and it stops other people having a look in. And the temptation then is to completely go the other way and
shut down.
Shut down, and I'm not going to contribute because I don't want to annoy everybody. And I think we probably all go through those phases, and then you get to the point where there's some balance. And I still find the balance a bit difficult. It takes me a long time, and I think we've mentioned this before, to get comfortable enough to go, okay, I think I've got the appropriate amount of input right now.
Mm.
At first, I can just be very, oh, I'm going to sit back because otherwise I'm going to talk too much. So, yeah, it's interesting. But that's really good that you noticed that you didn't care that something had been turned down. Well, that's your adult, isn't it? Coping with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
Like you said, it's the child in you that gets hurt.
Mm. But also, I think it's a very good point that they keep you in check. And I don't always get it right. Sometimes I say something that doesn't land.
Mm.
But my check-in now is this potentially really helpful or helpful? Mm. And if I think it's helpful, and like you were saying earlier, I'm happy to put my head above the parapet and risk getting it shot off. Not that we do at chorus, but in other situations.
Mm.
Because other people, it's not in their comfort zone to do it. And I know it can be useful for other people.
Mm.
So if I hear something that the director might want to look at,
mm.
our director's amazing, but she's got one brain and two eyes and two ears, and she can't do everything. And it's a very inclusive culture. There's quite a few of us that do say things, and some people don't, but they might be helped by the thing that somebody else might say. And that's really important, I think. So it's trying to pick your way through all of that.
Yeah. So I think the sort of takeaways are probably that looking at different aspects of intelligence.
And valuing them.
Absolutely. And valuing them all. Not expecting yourself to be an expert on everything. It's okay to not know about roofs.
Or roofs.
Or drains. Or roofs. Or whatever it is.
No, it's roofs. We now know.
Roofs. We do know now. And also that sort of element of self-questioning can be helpful to keep you in check, But I like what you said about you've almost got a rule of how you use that. So how you know how much of yourself to put, you know, not interrupt with, but you know what I mean, sort of put forward.
Yeah. Is it worth it, basically?
Yes. Is it worth it? Is this helpful?
How useful is this?
Is this useful for other people? If it's yes, I will risk it.
Yes, exactly that. Because people don't realise I'm risking it.
Yes.
I think some people think it's, maybe they think I do it too much. Maybe they think it's easy. It is easy, but I'm dealing with that little child inside me that doesn't want me to do it.
Yeah.
And I just think, it's okay, we've got this. It's fine. I'm going to ask it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to put my hand up and wait my turn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not be too attached to the outcome.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, interesting. We got a bit deeper than we normally do in this one.
Well, yes. Well, we did in the last one, I think. So give us some feedback. Do you like the deep ones or do you like the daft ones? Well, hopefully there's a bit of everything in everything. So thank you for listening, everybody.
Thank you. And I will speak to you soon, Nikki.
Thank you, Carrie. Take care. See you soon.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks so much for joining us on our ADHD journey. If you can spare a sec, a review or ranking would be hugely appreciated by us. 5 stars would be marvellous, but whatever you think. Every single one really does help. As well as on your favourite app, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at theadhdconnection_podcast. So we hope to see you on there. Thanks again for listening, and bye for now.